Our scripture comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word and for the hope and the joy that we get from it. I pray, God, that the words that I say over the next few minutes would be pleasing to you, Lord, and that we would have our hearts lifted up by hearing your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be talking about how change is possible, even for the humbuggiest person around. And yeah, I don't know if humbuggiest is actually a word, but it came to me, and so I wrote it down because I liked it. And it fits because we've been talking about Scrooge the last few weeks. We've been following Ebenezer Scrooge in his sort of wild Christmas Eve night where he was visited by spirits and his whole world was changed. At first, we were introduced at the beginning of the story to the bah humbug Scrooge. We're introduced to his selfishness, how miserable and disconnected he is from those that are around him, how damaged his relationships have become, because he spent his whole life focused on money and acquiring more of it, and by the security he felt like it provided him. But then he's visited by the ghost of his former partner, Jacob Marley, and then he's visited by three ghosts who change him and by what he witnessed. First, we're introduced to the ghost of Christmas past, who takes him on a whirlwind trip through his past where he sees, he begins to have regret over the way that his life has turned out as he sees where it started. But he's still really focused in on himself and what has happened to him. But then the second ghost is the ghost of Christmas present. And it's there that Scrooge begins to really appreciate how the results of his actions are affecting other people. His eyes are opened to how his family's relationships have been damaged, how the poverty of his only employee, Bob Cratchit, has left him without the ability to care properly for his son, Tiny Tim, who has who needs medical help. And it's during this time that Scrooge is sort of moved towards repentance. And then he's also visited at last by the ghost of Christmas future. And it's there that Scrooge is shown his headstone, and he's shown his empty funeral, that nobody has come to visit and mourn his loss. And then he sees that his employee Bob Cratchit's son, Tiny Tim, has also died because of the lack of access to medical care. He sees all of that, and in his grief, he promises the ghost of Christmas future that he's not going to forget the lessons of the night. And he wakes up on Christmas morning a new man, and that's where we're picking him up his story today. So Scrooge is transformed. The guy that you see in that video is almost unrecognizable from the bah humbug man that we meet at the beginning, the man that's only concerned with himself, with gaining material possessions, and finding himself isolated and restrained. However, through some intervention from the spirit world, you see a huge and important change in Scrooge. And I think if you trace it from the beginning of the movie to the end, what seems clear is that Scrooge has become a person that has hope. Hope in himself and in his ability to change. Hope in his fellow human beings, who at the beginning of the story, he's blaming for their own difficulties, blaming them for their bad decisions, seeing hope that they have the ability to overcome those challenges and that he can be a part of that, and then hope for the future as well. I think the staying power of the Christmas Carol story is that not only does it celebrate the Christmas spirit and makes us feel good as we watch, as we're reminded of the things that are important about Christmas and the season, but it also, in Scrooge, we see the reminder that everyone is capable of change, that there's hope available to all who choose to hold on to it. And that's what the Christmas message is about. The arrival of Jesus that we're celebrating in this season changed the world, and it changed the individuals who make up that world as well. Our passage this morning with Mary gives us a prophetic look as well as an immediate and personal look into the way that the world was changed by the Christmas message. The scripture picked up after Mary had found out that she was going to have a son. His name was going to be Jesus. He was going to be the Son of God. And it was a big shock to her. And we pick up the story after she finds this news out, and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who herself is also pregnant under miraculous circumstances, and is soon will give birth to the man who grew up to be the guy we call John the Baptist. But when Mary shows up and greets Elizabeth, the scripture tells us that the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. And Elizabeth is, the Holy Spirit comes on Elizabeth, and she starts to prophesy and tell Mary how very blessed Mary was. After that blessing, Mary then speaks what we call the Magnificat. It's a song of praise that proclaims the good things that God has done for Mary, but also the good things that he's done to the world. It's here that we see the way that the story of Christmas changes the world. Mary, in her song, proclaims this topsy-turvy world where God, the all-powerful divine, has brought down the powerful from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly instead. He's filled the hungry with good things. And she's seeing that playing out in her life story as well. Because what we know, as Mary talks about God lifting up the lowly, what we really know about Mary, and it's not much, is that she seems to be a pretty normal person from a small town. She didn't have stature, political clout. She wasn't the daughter of a king or even a local ruler. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph, who himself was also not someone with a high profile. He wasn't a king, a ruler, a priest. He was a carpenter. These were normal, ordinary people. So when Mary talks about God lifting up the lowly, you can see she can see herself in that. But this normal person has been chosen to participate in an extraordinary role, to be the mother of Jesus. If God was operating under the rules that Scrooge would operate under, or the rules of our typically merit-based society, then he surely wouldn't have chosen Mary to kickstart his redemptive plan. He would have chosen someone who was famous, or someone who had wealth, or someone who had power. But God didn't work that way. He could have chosen to bypass the whole sort of messiness of birth and the difficulties of childhood and growing up and all of that, and chosen a different way to show up maybe on a war horse from the heavens and proclaim to everyone that things are different now. But he didn't choose that. He chose to come as a baby, born to a regular person, lifting up the lowly from the very beginning. And Mary, in her story, we see that transformation, that this encounter that she has with God, the transformation that happens in her life, it isn't always an easy thing. You see in the praise that Mary gives God in the Magnificat, it could be easy to overlook some of the difficulties that Mary had in her life. Well, because first of all, her reputation would have been affected by this. because she's from a small town, people would have noticed that she was pregnant, and she was pregnant outside of the cultural norms of the day. She was also in danger of maybe losing her relationship to Joseph, because scripture tells us that it took a visit from an angel to tell Joseph, okay, everything's all right, for him to decide not to break off their engagement. And then you see that Mary gave up that sort of normal progression for life that we want when we have and our children grow up. Jesus grew up and he left home and he traveled and he preached and he trained his disciples and he started this movement, but he left home. And then Mary had to go through the difficulties of giving up her son as he fulfilled God's plan on the cross. So Mary went through some difficulties because of her encounter with God. But she was right about one thing. She's been called blessed by all generations for thousands of years. And in our own life, we're probably not going to be called to experience anything like what Mary went through. But maybe we can see a little bit of ourselves in the character of Scrooge. Although, as a as a fictional character, he's a pretty extreme guy. I don't know very many people who are that cranky, but that is Scrooge. Because he existed in a world that was completely devoted to himself, and he winds up unhappy in this place where he doesn't have friends or close relationships, and by placing his hopes and futures in his wealth, he finds out that maybe it's not all that it's cracked up to be. Once he's visited by the spirits, he decides to make a change. So this encounter with the spirit of Christmas truly transformed him and transformed his heart and his life. But that wasn't where it stopped, because after this work began, Scrooge chose to make changes for himself as well. And I think that's where we can see ourselves in the story of Scrooge. He has this newfound charity. He recognizes that charity comes out of a heart that has hope for the future and wants to be a part of helping others to see that hope, to lift them up. Scrooge was transformed in his heart, but also in deed and by the way that he lived his life. And like Mary, it cost him something. In this case, it was to let go of the stuff that he had clung most tightly to, and to realize that his hope wasn't in that, but it was something in something else. And you can see the joy in the character at the end of this, because his values had changed. In the season of Advent, at its conclusion, what's announced to the world is the arrival of a new set of values. Scrooge is this caricature of old values, pride and position and wealth, and selfishness. But God brings transformation and announces a new set of values. And that change is available to all those who will receive it if we'll only let him work in our lives and in our heart. This transformation is traced through the season of Advent as we light candles of hope and joy and peace and love. And because of the arrival of Jesus at Christmas, we can experience those things in our life as well, and give and put those things out into the world for other people to experience as well. We see joy. We have joy because the Messiah that was long prophesied, that we was waited for so long, came. He came, he changed the world, and because of that, we're able to be reconciled to God, our sins are forgiven, and we have joy that can transcend present circumstances, can transcend the difficulties that come along in life, because we have eternal joy knowing that God is with us, and he came and he helped us. And peace. We can announce peace to a world where there's war and threats of war and anger, but because of God, arrival, because of the work of Christmas, we see peace that arrives in the form of a baby that we're then called to let into our hearts and to be agents of peace out in the world to a place that desperately needs peace. And we can live into that until we finally see the culmination of the dream, the world that God dreams of, a place of peace where the lion lays with the lamb and we're able to be with him forever. And we have love. We talked about love this morning when we lit the candle of love, and it encapsulates it so well when it says that there is no fear in love, for love casts out fear. And God's love pervades all of life, and we can see it at work because of the message of Christmas. We see that God's love transforms us and transforms our heart. And then finally, we have hope. And that's the big message that I take out of the Christmas story. It's what makes it so powerful. When you don't have hope, when there's the absence of hope, there's despair. But we don't have to, as Christmas people, give in to despair, because hope was given to us all that first Christmas and is carried on. Since then, we've been able to share that message. That message of hope that Scrooge embraced is one that we can embrace too. We can have hope because of the power of God that we've seen at work in our lives. We have hope for the future, a future where change is possible, where peace is proclaimed, where love is the thing that drives all actions. And there's the hope for the future, hope where God's kingdom is reigns and proclaims, and that we all dwell in it. The transformation of Scrooge from humbug to hope involved him making some changes in his life. He became a person who was opposed to, he was from a person who was opposed to charity, he became a person that was known for charity. And that's where we can identify with Scrooge, I think, as people being transformed by God. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit at work in our life. We're being sanctified, made into the image of our Savior. And so the question I have for you guys is, where do you think your Scroogey areas are? What are you holding on to your life that keeps you from living into the reality of being people, Christmas people? Is there a need to constantly get more that's depriving you of having peace and satisfaction with what you currently have? Are past experiences and hurts depriving you of joy today? Is it keeping you from having the joy that God wants you to have? Or maybe fear. Fear is something that a lot of us deal with. Is there fear for the future that's keeping you from having hope for the future? Or maybe anger, holding on to anger, that makes it difficult to love others in the way that you want to, in the way that you know that God wants you to as well. What is it that you're being called to release to God this Christmas? Because Christmas is a perfect time to make a change, to say, God, I need help with this. Whatever it is that I'm holding on to, whatever that's getting in the way of me living into the reality of the hope that you give us, God, I give it to you. I want you to have it and help me. And he will. We've seen it. Christmas announces to the world that transformation is possible. Jesus came and he changed the world. And if we let him, he'll change our lives as well. Just like we've seen in the story of the Christmas Carol with Scrooge, we don't have to stay the same. And you see it throughout Scripture as well. Jesus came, he changed, and he wants to change us all. And I say glory to God to that and Merry Christmas. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for the hope that you give us, for the message of Scripture that says that we don't have to stay the same, that you're at work. You've been at work in our world from the beginning, and God, you're still there. We can rest on that. We can trust it. Lord, and through that, we are able to have the joy, the love, and the peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, continue to work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to identify what it is that we want, what we need to turn over to you this Christmas. Thank you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.